This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 452, recorded Wednesday, August 7th, 2019, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Dum-dum-dum-dum.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Exciting, you say?
Yes, I do. I'm trying a different wiring scheme.
Wiring scheme with new hardware.
Not entirely new hardware, but
Some new hardware.
Yeah, and some of the hardware.
Don't call me a liar. I'm not no liar.
One piece of new hardware, but I have some older hardware that I may try to put back into the mix that does the background noise filtering.
Oh.
So we're unfiltered.
Ooh. Android Buffet unfiltered. That should totally be the name of the podcast.
Okay.
And that's without any political conversation.
Yeah. But that means that if there's any background or hum, that won't be filtered out before it gets to the board. Which is what I was doing before. So I will see about that in the future, but I figured I'd do episode by episode incrementally and see what people thought. So this is the most basic analog-based setup. Two computers, again, mixed together in analog and then run into a computer for the actual recording. So it's another week. Did anything exciting happen to you this week of a technology-based nature?
Ooh, no, but I did do something really exciting over the weekend.
I want to hear about your excitement.
Well, I cleaned the garage. I cleaned and organized the garage.
That was exciting?
Well.
Well, if it needed it, I suppose.
You know, we just moved in and we just had boxes in there and they were stacked up and it was ugly. So we went and we bought some of those wire shelves and we bought some boxes, red boxes with yellow tops, and we cleaned up the garage and now it looks, you know, like a human lives there, which is, you know, a big thing because it took 4 days to do it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What human lives in your garage?
I didn't say a human does live in my garage. I said it looks like a human lives there.
Well, I suppose that's better than not having a human able to live in your garage. So now the next time that a human needs somewhere to stay, you have a garage for that.
No, because then there will be some. I just want it to look like it's habitable.
Okay. I did some work here. You remember the saga of my standing desk?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I've continued that work by redoing some of the wiring around the desk. I needed to do that to try to pull in the new audio cabling. So the board that I'm using to control the volume is within reach on the desk. I haven't had it within reach in a while. It was a few feet away. And that's not really that exciting, it being that close, but I also put in a 4x4 matrix switcher. So I'm trying to gain on you in terms of display technology.
Cool.
So now I have four monitors, which I've had for a while, and they are all HD. I know they're not 4K, so you still beat me on that. But
I do not have 4K monitors.
I thought you did have 4K monitors.
I wanted to replace my 30 inches with 4K monitors. However, I didn't. Okay. I have found that my the
how many these K monitors, do you have?
K is up and down, so 16? 1.6K?
What's the resolution of each monitor?
2160 by 1600.
Okay, you still have more. My monitors are just standard HD. So,
but still, yeah. I mean, but still, that's, you're doing good. I mean,
yeah.
Four monitors, it's, you know, you get a center monitor, then two monitors on either side that are for, you know, stuff that you need right now. And then you get a supplementary off to the side that has information that you need sporadically. Four monitors is a really good number.
Actually, mine are in a square.
Oh, you did vertical?
Two and two.
I tried to have one vertically, but it just messed with my neck, so I didn't like it. But hey, if you do, then cool.
Well, the reason why I have the matrix switcher is two of the monitors are used when I work at home, and two of them are used for when I'm working on my personal computer. So the matrix switcher allows me, when I'm working at home, to switch my personal computer to the upper monitors and my work computer to the lower monitors.
Interesting that. So you don't have all four going to the same computer. You have two going to one computer and two going to the other, and you can switch.
Yeah. Well, right now, the two that are going to the work computer are dark because the work computer is at work. My work computer is a laptop that goes into a dock. So what I want to do when I'm not using those two monitors for the dock, I want to put in a secondary methodology, and I may put some information-based system. My computer itself can actually, by my calculation, do three at a time, but it can't do four. Well, only so much you can do. Anyway, other than that, I just put in those height speakers I bought a while ago when they were on deep discount. So I now have 5.1.2 sound. So five surround speakers and two height.
Cool.
Now I just need to find a movie that will emphasize this. I wasn't originally going to go Atmos and do height, but they were selling $250 speakers for $69.99, and I said, okay, at that price, I'll give it a shot.
Are you happy with it?
I installed it 45 minutes ago. So I'm going to say that...
So, no. You're not happy with it.
I'm going to say that I have not yet tested it to the point at which I could make a positive determination.
So you're not happy with it.
I'm not unhappy with it.
Okay, but you're not happy with it either.
I'm pre-happy.
Pre-happy.
Yes.
All right.
So that's my technology. The only other thing that I did is I tried out the new Home Assistant Cast, which I am very excited about.
What is this Home Assistant Cast?
So they figured out a way to cast Home Assistant over Chromecast to a Nest Home Hub or another Google-enabled smart display. So because, in reality, Google-enabled smart displays, when Chromecast goes in, are actually HTML-based, they can actually send an interface there, and they've been able to figure out, even though the touch interface is normally disabled for that, they figured out a way to sort of get around the fact that the touch interface is not disabled. So you authorized Home Assistant Cast to access your Home Assistant instance, and then you can start it on a Chromecast device, and it will give you the option to pick a view to display. So it will render Lovelace views, which is their UI interface, stream real-time data, allow you to navigate between views using the navigate actions inside an entity card or using web links, and update the casted UI when you update your Lovelace configuration. So suddenly your Nest Home Hub can become a interface for your Home Assistant. And their comment on it is they were able to get touch controls working by manipulating code that's injected into the Home Assistant Cast website when the Chromecast runs the receiver application. They're hoping that Google will not stop them from doing that. Well, they've said that they did try to reach out to Google, but you know how hard that can be.
Yeah.
So their answer is, well, we're hoping that us making the statement will mean that they won't actually stop it. So it worked really nicely. So I can now have an interface which I've wanted for a while on a screen. I haven't quite... there was a demo that was released the other day, and version 0.97 was only released today. So I have not integrated it in so that I can press a button in the interface and cast to a device. Since I was scrambling this evening to get all of this wiring stuff done before tomorrow. All of my projects have to be finished by Wednesday night. That's an interesting rule in this house because of the fact that I have a podcast on Wednesday at 10.
And what you mean is today, tonight.
Yes, this is Wednesday.
Yes, we always said tomorrow night.
Did I say tomorrow night?
You did, but okay, you were probably telling the story from the past tense of how you were feeling yesterday. And that's fine, and that's okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize I said that. So I... Rakuten, is that how you pronounce that? R-A-K-U-T-E-N? Keep selling Nest home hubs for like $50, like $58 or $59, give or take.
Wow.
At that price, you can get yourself a 7-inch Google Home Hub, put one or two extra around your house, have them cast the Home Assistant interface to it, and use it as the interface to control your lights and get sensor data.
Cool.
I think that is cool, and that saves me. I'm not going to criticize my attempts to do that with a Pi with a touchscreen, but this is so much easier. So I'm not going to criticize easy. So that's all of my little projects for the week. I'm sure I could think of a few more. Just to remind you, next week is the 14th. Where we will be recording a show. The week after that, the 21st, I will be in California.
I'm sorry.
Why? What do you have against California?
I don't have anything against California. It's California. It's got something against me.
What did California do to you? Or what did
do you
do to California?
Do you want to get into a political discussion?
Okay. I'm just asking, are you saying you just disagree with California, or are you actually banned from the state of California?
I'm saying that the West Coast seems to have a preponderance of left-leaning individuals, and the further west you go, the further left they lean.
I'm not going there for the politics.
The far left has repeatedly called anyone who supports Trump racist white supremacist.
That's an absolutist view.
It is. And
I'm sure there are plenty of people like that, but I'm sure there are plenty of crazy people supporting both sides. Crazy people do crazy things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not going there for the politics. I was going there because I haven't been to San Diego since 1989, and I really don't remember that much of it from 89.
Well, have fun.
I hope so. I hear nice things. I hear there's a zoo and...
San Diego, being a military town, will probably be more reasonable.
Well, that was why I was in San Diego in 1989. Because it was a military town.
Ah.
I went to visit somebody. Anyway. That said, the person in question doesn't live in San Diego anymore, so that's why I have not visited them in 30 years. So I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to come back, and then more work, as is life. So I wanted to remind everybody that I will not be here that Wednesday. So, in other news, apparently voiceless emergency operator options are coming to Pixel phones.
Isn't this awesome?
Well, I think that the world is somewhat awesome. And technology marches on.
Yeah, that.
Because there's one other bit of technology that I am thinking of replacing. And I should ask your advice and the advice of listeners, because I have no idea how to do it.
What's that?
Well, on Monday, my car broke down.
Oh.
You remember that that car was purchased during the scope of the show, because I purchased it in 2011. And now it's over 8 years old, and things fail. car is now fixed. However, it is making me think that I should start thinking of the next car for me. Even if I don't buy it now, it's a good time to start saving up, start talking to car people. When I say car people, I'm not talking about people who work at car dealerships, people who are car enthusiasts.
Right.
And to figure out what I want. But technology marches on. And if you think between 2011, when I bought a base car, what was included in a base car in 2011 and what you get in a base car today.
Mm-hmm.
Android Auto, rear backup cameras, little triangles on the mirrors so that you don't accidentally shift into somebody, lane departure warnings, lane maintenance warnings, adaptive cruise control, all of this. It's very overwhelming when you look at all the options you can get in a car.
You know, I'm not a big fan of a lot of those, but adaptive cruise control is awesome.
Why, you don't like the triangles?
Well,
the blind spot detection.
They don't bother me. Although our car doesn't have the triangles on the mirrors. It's got them on the inside. They're like little yellow rectangles that light up, and I think they're far more visible. So I prefer that. I don't like them on the mirrors. However, they're not, you know.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't like them more somewhere else. I'm saying I like the idea of blind spot detection.
I tend to pay enough attention to the road around me and what's coming up behind me that those things never give me information that I did not already have.
Yeah, but
the adaptive cruise control, however,
I just like safety.
I love the adaptive. When you're driving and it's, you know, traffic's starting to get heavy, you just, if you got the cruise control on and there's a car in front of you, you'll slow down. And when traffic picks back up, you'll speed up. I love it. It's awesome.
So I thought I would, because I was just reminded of that, I thought I would go and ask our listeners if they have a recommendation for me. Should I stick with the Hyundai Sonata, which is what I've had for the last 8 years, just get a newer one? Or should I consider something else?
Clearly, you should consider something else.
Why? What do you have against Hyundai?
I don't. But to eliminate all other vehicles is, well, kind of silly.
Okay.
Just my thought.
I'll give you that.
That's
why I'm starting the process.
I would
now
recommend, however, that for most people, cars start to be problematic around 8 years, and that's okay. It's a wise decision. I mean, you probably have had the vehicle paid off for a couple years by now.
Yeah, which is why I'm saying maybe I should start figuring out the next phase, because
if you can,
if I'm trying figure out what you can fix it more, then that's gonna. I might as well consider what else I might get.
Take that car payment and put it into a savings account.
I did.
And went
5 years ago.
There you go. Oh, so you're all prepared. Then you could probably do it. But 2 years of doing that will let most people buy a decent car and with a reasonable payment on it. The key is just you keep the car just a little bit longer. But hey, you're a responsible and forward-thinking individual, so it would appear that you're ready to go.
Yeah, for me, right now it's the technology and what to do. Because by the time I pick something, there will always be something better coming along. That's technology. And cars are really starting to iterate on the technology side after some years of not being that different. So what you can get now and what you can get a few years ago was very different. When I got the car in 2011, they didn't know what Bluetooth streaming was or whether or not the car would do it. I called the dealership and I said, can the car do this? The manual is a little unclear online. No, you have to buy the more expensive package. Different dealer. You have to buy the more expensive package. The dealer I actually bought from. Well, we're not really sure, but come down, bring your phone, and we'll figure it out. And that is why I bought a car from those guys. They said the logical thing, which was, we really don't know the answer to that question, but if you come down with your phone, we'll figure it out. Anyway, so back to the Nest Hub. Google is testing letting you change the audio output from the Nest Hub to other devices. And I like this idea. Because I'd like a voice command for this. Because occasionally I go and listen to audio from a Google Home Mini that I have positioned in my bathroom while I am taking a shower, such as the news or other things. I would love it if once I exit the shower and go into my bedroom, I could transfer the audio with me. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would.
So,
very much so.
So I'm in favor of this. I think that they could do a very good challenge to, let's say, something like a Sonos, which has that sort of, you know, really defined multi-device audio.
Yes, but easier to use.
Yeah.
I want something easier to use than Sonos is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I think Google can do this. There are many things that Google does poorly. However, this I think they can do well if they try. Because they've really iterated on the Google Home ecosystem. Google Assistant can now read and reply to WhatsApp, Slack, and some other apps.
Cool. Who knew?
I did. That's why I just said it.
Oh.
Yeah. The Files app, which is the Google File Manager app, has a dark theme and a music and video player now.
Finally!
The music and video player or the dark theme?
Both. Because, you know, there were things that I was missing 80% of them.
The music player part or the dark theme?
Both.
Okay. Still confused by that. Post-it released an app to scan and organize sticky notes. Apparently 5 years after they did the iOS version. So you can scan.
Somehow love this idea.
No, I do too. I didn't even know there was an iOS version of this because why would I? But you scan all of your little post-its and then you can organize and rearrange them digitally. I think that is just a brilliant thing for the people at Post-it to maintain.
You know what's missing from this?
What?
The ability to put virtual red yarn from note to note.
Do they have an email address where you can make a suggestion?
I mean, because then conspiracy theorists could take it off the wall and have it in their phone.
You mean where the government can monitor it?
You don't really think that the Post-it notes people are sharing your information, do you?
Don't you know that Post-it notes are really a government conspiracy to get us to write things down on little slips of paper that are secretly monitored by the government?
No.
Good, because I don't know that either. Moving along, there was a nice little article that I found, how to take better nighttime photos with your smartphone. So I thought that was something that people on this podcast might be interested in. It's not a news story, but I occasionally find things that are worth it. So this is by Florence Ion, filed to Lifehacker. Tips that you should know anyway if you know a little about photography, such as adjust the exposure, chase the light, learn to use night mode, stabilize the smartphone, tap into manual mode, avoid other lenses, try an editing app. So I'm going to have to think about this because I want to take some pictures on my trip.
I think one of the important things there,
yeah,
was stabilize the phone, because your phone is going to realize that it's dark and it is going to extend the time that it takes the picture. And that makes, you know, shake really show up in your pictures. So if you can stabilize the picture, then it will, or the camera, or the phone, then it will really, really help.
Well, I have one of those little handles where you can hold on to it better, more like it's a traditional camera grip.
Mm-hmm.
So that cost me like $10, so that works out nicely, and it collapses and folds into my bag. So I may use that a bit more on my trip. Google, I'm looking at the wrong line. Verizon has delayed the shutdown of their CDMA network until the end of 2020.
I wonder why. Are people hanging on to flip phones?
Well, I don't know. I went and got my grandmother a LTE flip phone because our attempt to teach her how to use a smartphone, which she asked us to, did not work successfully. So I was prepared for this, and now I have another year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's not the worst thing that could happen. Just trying to be proactive doesn't always work out, does it?
Well, sure it did. You're prepared, right?
Yes.
Then it worked out.
Except she's still using the old CDMA phone and has not tried out the LTE phone that I got her.
Well, whose fault is that?
Not mine. Anyway, there are bigger problems in life. Major networks are suing the free TV app Locast, who thought that they could avoid being sued by their interpretation of the law. But they're being sued anyway.
Well, of course.
Well, I expected it, but we'll see.
Notice that just because they're sued doesn't mean they're doing anything wrong.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I will see what happens on this, because this is one of the topics that I tend to monitor for this program, which is the prevalence of media options. Google Voice is killing SMS voice transcripts, apparently because of spam.
Wow.
Not spam on the messages, but apparently they're removing the capability because carriers are blocking some of the messages because they're automated. So they're just not going to maintain the feature. Which is a shame, because I use this a lot.
Yeah, it's a nice feature. Thought it was a nice feature.
Yeah. Now I have to listen to my voicemails? Oh, well. It was also very amusing to see what Google Voice translated as. It got a lot better over the years, but I remember those early ones where I used to laugh a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Amazon is terminating the Dash button on August 31st.
Oh. See, I wonder if this means that there'll be super easy to find free ones that you can repurpose.
Well, here's where the problem comes in. You can only the way that the repurposing works is that it intercepts the signal. But you still need the Amazon app in order to configure it to connect to your Wi-Fi. So since Amazon won't support configuring them, unless you've already configured them, they won't work.
Ah. Well, that's no fun.
Nope. And I believe that brings us to the end of what I found for this week.
Wow.
Why wow?
I'm just thinking back to that Post-it Notes app.
Okay.
That's a pretty cool app.
I would agree. So, and that brings us to the end of the show. And I'd like to hear your feedback on the audio. I'm going to listen to it as well. And we will see how it works out.
Yay!
And I'll continue to try to iterate.
Yay!
And I'm going to suggest we stop the show because I have a bag full of wires I have to go untangle.
All right. Yay!
I've been working on it for nearly a week now, you know.
Just remember, it's perfectly okay to throw away wires.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Because the next time that you need an Ethernet cable, you don't have one.
Well, if you have 15 of them, then throwing away 10 of them is perfectly okay.
Well, I've been trying to find somebody who wants them for use. I prefer to donate rather than dispose, if I can.
Okay.
I did get rid of my parallel port cabling.
Oh, cool.
Not this time, but in the past, because I didn't think I was ever going to use that, and I didn't think anybody else would. But I have a box of micro USB cables, and I'm reasonably certain somebody's going to want one of those.
But they're everywhere.
Yeah, that's why I'm giving them out for free.
All right. Good luck.
Well, until next week.
Until next week. Bye, folks.
Goodbye.